The topic of this lesson is the qualifications for elders that have to do with teaching. The qualification in 1 Timothy 3:2, able to teach, and the qualification in Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word. I think it's very important to understand the backdrop of these instructions in the light of what Paul has already said. It's also important to understand the distinction between what Paul writes to Timothy and what he writes to Titus. When Paul writes to Timothy, he writes to him at Ephesus, a city where Paul has been, where elders have been appointed, and we'll look at that in a moment. And he does not instruct Timothy to appoint elders, but rather he tells Timothy to deal with those who are teaching false doctrine. When you come to his epistle to Titus, Titus is in Crete, and there are new churches that have just been established where elders have not been appointed. And Paul is instructing Titus to appoint elders in various cities. So the qualifications that Paul sets down in Titus chapter 1 are qualifications for newly appointed elders. Whereas in 1 Timothy chapter 3, those qualifications are applying to existing elders, as I understand the setting. So let's take a look at what Paul has already said to those at Ephesus. Paul has been there. He's had an effective ministry in Acts chapter 19. He was there for nearly 3 years teaching, and it's from Ephesus that it's said that all of Asia heard the word of God proclaimed. So this was a church that was well taught. When Paul reached Miletus on his way back to Jerusalem, he called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he told them that he would see their face no more, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and that he would probably be taken and arrested. And there was great weeping and concern for Paul as he departed from them. But one of the things that he had to say to them had much to do with teaching. He says to them in two places in Acts chapter 20 that he had taught them everything they needed to know. In chapter 20 and verse 20, he says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." In verse 27, he goes on to say, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." Now, I gain from that the inference, which is rather clear, that Paul has taught them everything they need to know. The inference is also there that there is nothing new that they will need to know beyond what he has already taught them. Now, when you come to his warnings about what the future holds, that becomes very important. Paul says to them that he's going to Jerusalem and that he knows the time of his departure is near. And so he says to them that they ought to be on guard for themselves and for all the flock over which God, the Holy Spirit, has made them overseers to shepherd the church. And then he says in verse 29, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that day and night, for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So Paul is saying false teachers are going to arise. The worst part of it is they're not just arising from without. He says there is a likelihood that false teaching will arise from within, from some of them. And the danger is that they, if any of them, wish to have their own personal following, they'll do it by departing from the truth, and they'll have a uniqueness to their message which attracts a certain kind of person. And Paul says, you have to be on guard as elders to guard yourselves from yourselves in the sense of watching out for false teaching, either from without or from within. Then he says, he commends them to the word of his grace. He says, I have taught you everything you need to know. Now I leave you with that word. That word is what will be sufficient for you when these times of trouble and testing come along. Now let's take a look at what Paul says at the introduction of his words to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, because this explains the setting. In 1 Timothy, Paul describes the setting and the dangers first, then he sets down the qualifications for elders. In Titus, he sets down the qualifications for elders first, and then he talks about the danger of false teachers, and we'll see that in just a moment. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God which is by faith. I think it's interesting that he does not say there that he is to appoint elders, but rather he is to deal with those who are teaching strange doctrines, not unlike that which he had warned the Ephesians about in Acts chapter 20. And then he goes on to talk about the goal of their instruction was love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand what they're saying or about the matters that they make confident assertion concerning. So here are those who are authoritative in their sound. They sound confident in what they're doing, and yet Paul says they know not what they're talking about. Very important to see that they are those who are talking about the law. They want to be perceived as teachers of the law, so their content is Jewish, as it were, and it says that they focus on genealogies and on other kinds of speculation, so that they lead to teaching which is not authoritative. The scriptures are not the basis for what they are teaching. And Titus will then go on to say some other things in the same manner about these folks. Just after he says that the elder must be one who holds fast the faithful word in verse 9, he says this in verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, so they'd be Jewish, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, for this cause reprove them severely that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. So here's that same kind of description, the same kind of error that's turning up. And it's clear from 1 Timothy and from Titus that in effect these Jewish teachers are denying the very thing that Paul has been appointed as an apostle to proclaim, and that is God has brought Jew and Gentile together through the shed blood of Christ. He has created one new man, the church, and he is building that up as a building. For Jews who wanted to segregate and keep the Gentiles separate, that was anathema, and they opposed that message that Paul was preaching. When you read through 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus, virtually every chapter there has something to say about teaching or teachers.